Okay, if your Bible, let's turn to Daniel. Okay, I'm going to read a few portions of scripture. Okay, you just bear with me. Okay, Daniel chapter 10, verse 2 to 3. Then we go to Luke chapter 4, verse 1, and then verse 14. Isaiah 58, verse 6 to 9. And Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Okay, we need to understand this, all these portions of scripture to understand the theme of the message this morning. Okay, let's read Daniel chapter 10, verse 2 and 3. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Then he goes on, then he, which is God, said unto me, fear not, Daniel. Okay, the he is actually an angel, but the angel is the representation of God, okay? Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thy heart to understand and to chasten thyself by fasting before thy God, thy words were heard, and I'm come for thy words. Okay, then we go on to Luke chapter 4, verse 1, then Luke chapter 4, verse 14, about Jesus, okay? Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan. He was baptized in River Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to fast for 40 days and 40 nights. Then after the whole fasting, in verse 14 say, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went up a fame of him through all the region round about. Okay, then Isaiah 58, verse 6 to 9, it is the purpose of the fast. Is not this the fast that I've chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, that you may break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house, that thou see the naked, that thou cover him, that thou hide not thyself from thy own flesh? Then if you do all this, shall thy light break forth as the morning, thy health shall spring forth speedily. You want to be healthy? No, you want to be healthy. It says here, and thy health shall break, the health shall spring forth speedily. And thy righteousness shall go before thee, the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. That means you cry to God, and God said, here I am. If you take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the always pointing of fingers and speaking vanity. Lastly, brothers and sisters, we are crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live. Yet not us, but Christ live in us. And now the life which I now live in this flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Father, anoint this message right now. In Jesus' name I pray. Okay, I'm going to title my sharing this morning, after the fast, what to do? Living the answer. After the fast, living the answer. This message is suitable for those, for all of us that has entered into the 21 days fast, okay? Especially for us who enter into the 21 days full fast. Okay, this message focuses on gratitude, on transformation, and on obedience of our life. What can we learn from this portion of scripture? Number one, the fast is over, but the work continues. The fast is over, but the work continues. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Then God said to me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou set thy heart to understand and to chasten thyself before your God, your words were heard, and I'm come for your words. Daniel fasted for 21 days, and God heard him on the first day. Daniel fasted for 21 days, and God heard him on the first day. Fasting did not twist God's arm. Daniel did not twist the arm of God through fasting. Daniel did not. Daniel actually, it was God that heard this fast, the Bible tells us. And God heard the fast even on the very first day of our fast. So fasting does not twist the arms of God, and fasting does not manipulate God. Fasting only tells us that we depend upon God, and God will hear our fast because it tunes our heart. Fasting changes us more than it changes our circumstances. I know that something happened to my life. I know that fasting changes me, inside me. Now the fast has ended. The question is not, how do we feel after the 21 days? Or rather, how should we live after this 21 days of fasting? That means you live the answer. After the fast, you live the answer. The work continues. Okay, let's look at this portion of scripture. Very interesting. The first word that came from the scripture is mourning. M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G. Daniel fast is not a ritual. I know that this fast that we have has definitely not been a ritual. If given to the flesh, we would not like to do this kind of fast. I'm telling you, it's not a ritual. Okay? It was for Daniel, it was a grief-driven intercession. If I check my heart, I know that this 21 days full fast is not a ritual. It's a cry to God for the power of God, for purity, for the anointing, for the power of God to come upon our church. It is also a cry to God to forgive us of our hardness of heart. And one of the things that I discovered when I entered the first fast was that there's tremendous hardness of heart. But to tell you frankly, after the end of the fast, when the fasting was ending, I see the softness of heart coming back. So it is to forgive us of the hardness of our heart. It is a cry to God for His manifested presence. We want not God's just presence. We want God's tangible presence. We want the manifested presence of God in our midst. I cannot say I fasted not to get blessing. No, I have to admit, I fast because this church needs the blessing of God. But I can say this one thing, okay? This fast is responding to a burden, like Daniel. Responding to a concern. The attitude is correct. Responding to a spiritual urgency concerning our church and even concerning many of our own personal lives. Likely the burden was because we witnessed it in our own family. We witnessed the stagnancy of our church. We witness the slow progress of our church, and we also see upon our own life. Also, we can see the tremendous invisible opposition. Since 2012, there's tremendous opposition, the invisible opposition to God's purpose for this church. This church has been handicapped. This church has been chained. So we feel the invisible opposition to God's purpose for this church, as well as our own lives. Many of us, we are handicapped, we are chained. We have come to the end of the road, and there's a roadblock. You can literally sense spiritual resistance. That's why we must be very careful. We must maintain the unity in this church. The devil would like to cause disunity in the church, but we must maintain unity in the church. We can sense spiritual resistance to the work of God. When there is resistance to the work of God, it means that the church is okay and alive. If there's no resistance to the word of God, it is saying that the devil says, let's not bother about this church. I'm not worried about this church. It doesn't make any headway. It doesn't win any souls. And this opposition, spiritual opposition, has been going on for so many years, 14 years. I think one thing that is essential and good about this fast is that it begins with a burden. I don't know, but it really began with a burden. Pastor Lily was very troubled. It began with a burden, not a schedule. Oh, when you enter the new year, the first week, the first month, you have to have the 21-day fast. No, it was not a schedule, it was a burden. And the word mourning is the right word. Mourning, Daniel was mourning. Daniel was going about, he was the prime minister of Babylon, but he was mourning. In line with Daniel's context, Daniel's time. The second word or phrase to note in this scripture is the 3 full weeks. The 3 full weeks represent persevering prayer. Persevering prayer. The 3 full weeks represent consistency, emphasizes consistency, emphasizes endurance. Daniel did not quit after a few days. He did not quit after. I thank God we did not quit after a few days. The temptation to quit is there, but we did not quit. Daniel did not see the result, immediate result. Yet he continued seeking God. Yet verse 12 tells us this. From the first day, Daniel, your words were heard. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Meaning to say, from the first day you start to fast, God say, I hear your urgency. I hear your burden. I hear your concern. That's the most important thing we need from God. You know what? It's not, I don't care what people say. I don't care what people say about this fast. What I care about is that God heard us and God approved of this fast. Delay is not denial. This is a Christ-centric link. Daniel was denied food, yet Jesus is the bread of life. Daniel has no food. Jesus said, my meat is to eat. I have meat to eat where you know not of. Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. We are denied food, but we are given the bread of life. Daniel fasted for understanding concerning his situation. Maybe your situation, concerning his countrymen, concerning his country, concerning himself. But Jesus is the full revelation of understanding. He's the full revelation. Daniel couldn't understand, but when he sees Jesus, he is the full revelation when it comes to understanding. Because Christ died on the cross, Jesus became the bread of life. Why we have Holy Communion today? To remind us that Jesus is the bread of life. In Christ, we don't fast to be heard. We fast because we are already heard. God has already heard. And God said, I've already heard you. After the fast, God said, I want you to leave the answer. I want you to continue the work. I want you to leave the answer. The answer has been heard. You have to leave. You have to act. You have to obey. You have to move. I have confidence. God has heard us in this fast. I have confidence that Jesus has come as the bread of life. He will sustain life. In Bible times, bread is a basic survival food. Without it, people starve. But here Jesus is saying that he is the essential person for our spiritual life. Not just spiritual life, to be honest, also physical life. Also circumstantial life. He is the answer. It means that he satisfies our deepest hunger. What is your deepest hunger in this fast? He will satisfy that hunger. But we have to eat the bread of life. You know the meaning of eating the bread of life? You have to believe. When you partake of the communion, you believe that Christ died on the cross of Calvary. You believe that Christ has saved you. You believe that you're in communion. So when you eat of the bread of life, you believe. You hold on to the word of God that is spoken to you. Just now when we were worshiping, I hold on to the word of God. God, I say, I hold you to your word. Christ, I hold you to what you say in the Bible. Heaven hears immediately, even when answer arrives later. I firmly believe this be true concerning our situation. I'm glad that I fasted with Pastor Lily and many of you for 21 days full fast. I want to tell you frankly, it is the most difficult fast for me. I've never experienced such difficulty. You know, last time I would just drink the watermelon juice. I drank the watermelon juice. Then Pastor Lily said, let's drink the broth. After one, I drank the broth. So I ended up just drinking hot water, warm water. And I become weaker and weaker. Then finally, it was not a good advice. He said, why don't you go and drink, what do you call that? No, the drinks, what do you call that? Pocari, is it? So a drink. I tell you, I drank. I tell you, I've never experienced such pain in my life before. I think I should have just continued my water and continued and continued. But anyway, it was over. It was difficult. I tell Frank, it's a really different things when you fast as an elder and you fast as a young person. It's really very different. I could have said, to be honest, I could have said, let Pastor Carlos and the elders handle it and the pastor handle it. They are taking over the church. I'm so glad that Pastor Lily and I, we did not. Because I want this church to have the blessings of God. I want to see this church thrive even after we leave. I know that God has answered this prayer of Pastor Lily and I through this fasting. I know that heaven hears. Heaven hears, and wonderful, powerful, miraculous signs and wonders will take place in this church in this whole year 2026. I believe and I have this faith. The third word is no pleasant food. Daniel's fast was partial but a costly fast. Daniel's fast was not total starvation. He abstained from delicacies and rich food. He abstained from meat and wine. Our fast is similar to Daniel. We drank water, vegetables, broth, watermelon juice. This is a humbling of appetite, not self-harm. Fasting is denying desires, not damaging the body. The fourth word is, nor did I annoy myself. It is, I set aside comfort. Daniel did not annoy himself. I think that time they maybe don't bathe. I don't understand. They don't bathe. They put on sackcloth. I don't understand, okay? If you don't annoy yourself, means you don't cleanse yourself properly, okay? But Daniel was anointed by God in the fast. There was spiritual anointing. Daniel received spiritual insight. Daniel received anointing. Spiritual battles start to take place, and spiritual battles affects answer. No, I remember that. I remember that when I was fasting during these 3 weeks, the first day when I come to the Tuesday, the first morning prayer, I come to the Tuesday morning prayer. When I sat down. You know what God told me about hardness? He said, God just told me that. You go and picture the life of Father Nash. I mean, until today, Father Nash just appeared in my head and it cannot go away. Just cannot go away. Because I want you to picture Father Nash during Charles Finney revival. He said that, God told me that Father Nash will arrive ahead of schedule to a certain city. And he will find a lodging place. And he with his partner will go into the lodging place, and most likely they don't eat much. And they will stay there. And God told me that Father Nash did not just pray. God said that, do you know that Father Nash used spiritual weapon? That's why I think Verona's song just now, pull down stronghold, pull down stronghold, pull down stronghold, pull down stronghold, is a confirmation of what God has been trying to tell me. Father Nash used spiritual weapon to pull down stronghold. I want to tell you, there's tremendous wickedness. There's tremendous evilness. There's tremendous high thinking, high pride thoughts, rebellious thoughts among people, even in the church, even in the city. And Father Nash will just bring them into obedience to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And God told me that Father Nash's weapon is not earthly. It's heavenly. It is mighty to the pulling down of stronghold. Pulling down of stronghold. Bringing every high thoughts, every proud thinking, every independent thoughts into subjection and obedience. And God said, these thoughts are so evil, so wicked, so high in your thoughts. There are so many wicked, evil, high thoughts in the minds of people. And they don't even know that they are harming the church. And God told me, human persuasion, human reasoning will never change them.
God told me that they will never change. They will never change. And God said, you want to win? Your weapon is mighty. Your weapon is mighty. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Fasting allows us to stand strong in prayer. God told me that Father Nash was able to do exactly that. And when Charles Finney arrived, the mind of the people were no longer under the control of the devil, no longer under the control of spiritual wickedness, no more evil, but just soft and open to the Spirit of God. And God said, your problem is not human. It's not these people. Your problem is the spiritual wickedness. And God said, I want you to bring them in. I want you to bring them in. I want you to bring them in. And when you do that, every Saturday, when you go, when you pull down, you go, the mind of the people start to change. They start to be soft. They start to open to the Word of God. And they start to respond to the Word of God. After the fast, the work continues. Fasting is not the finishing line. Fasting is the starting point. The fast God accepts leads to action, not just emotion. We will pray to pull down strongholds of wickedness, proud minds and proud hearts, rebellion, disobedience. And then we go to their home, like we are doing this Saturday, every Saturday, and bring them to the household of God. Jesus ministered after fasting. And God said, the work continue. You minister. You guard our heart. You continue to minister to unbeliever. You walk in holiness. You apply what God revealed to you constantly. And you fast. You open the doors. And obedience and responsibility will come. And you minister with power and effect. Number two. What fasting produces? Sensitivity, not superiority. After Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit in Galilee, and there went up a fame of him through all the region round about. Luke chapter 4 verse 1 and Luke chapter 4 verse 14 together form a powerful before and after Jesus' fasting, and they were deeply connected. Jesus had just been baptized. He just came out of the river Jordan. Jesus has just been affirmed by the Father. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And Jesus has been anointed by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit came upon him. Most humbly, I will say that I have been baptized in water. I have been affirmed by God. God told me one day in the early years of my ministry, you did not choose me. I chose you. And I chose you so that you can go forth and bring forth fruits, that your fruits may remain. God told me very, very clearly in the early years of my life. And God baptized me and anointed me by the Holy Spirit. When I come to the Philippines 40 years ago, I can tell you I felt an anointing upon my life. Yet, testing followed. Testing followed. Spiritual fullness does not eliminate testing. The wilderness is not an accident. Jesus' wilderness was not an accident. Jesus' wilderness was not a punishment. Jesus' wilderness was not a disobedient, the result of disobedient. Jesus' wilderness was permitted by God divinely. There's a lady here. God told me twice about you. I don't know, but God just tell me to tell you this. God told me that he know that you have been baptized. He know that you've been chosen. He know that you've been anointed. And God wanted me to tell you that your wilderness experiences in all these years was not a punishment, my God. Was not because of disobedience. God told me to tell you, this lady, that you are divinely permitted by God to go through the wilderness life. The Holy Spirit led you into difficult seasons to prepare you, not to break you. This is what God told me, okay? When I was preparing sermon, if you are the person, God said the Holy Spirit led you into difficult seasons to prepare you, not to break you, not because of the disobedient, not because of some punishment. And God said, before miracles, before the teaching, before authority, you need solitude, you need fasting. You need temptation. And God said, only note this. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. God told me to tell you, what has been deposited in you all these years will be demonstrated in public. Will be demonstrated in public. Jesus did not stay in the wilderness. He came up equipped. The wilderness refines you. The wilderness did not define you. Hear not the voices of the enemy. Hear not the voices of even your relatives. Hear not the voices of even your superior. Hear the voices of God, which the word of God has come to you and spoken to you clearly. Hear not their voice. Hear the voice of God. And God, tell me to tell you, your wilderness was not a punishment, was not a disobedience, was permitted by God. Number three, God's desired fast led to a changed life. 58:6-9. Is not this a fast that I've chosen? To loose the band of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, that you break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, that thou bring the poor that are cast out to your house? And when thou see the wicked, that you cover him, that you hide not yourself from my own flesh? Then your light shall break forth as the morning. Your health shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be your reward. You shall call, and the Lord shall answer. You shall cry, and he shall say, here I am. If you take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of fingers, and the speaking of vanity. You know, Isaiah 58 tells us that true fasting loses injustice in life. Compassion for the needy and rebuilding of broken life. God's chosen fast is liberation. The fast God focuses on is justice, freedom, not just food. Let's look, dissect the verses. Let's dissect the verses. Born of wickedness is a sinful system. The habits and the injustice in this world. You look at the injustice in this world. You look at the sinful system. You look at your flood malversement. You look at the people, they are so evil, they are so sinful. You look at the injustice that is in the world. These are all habits and habits of injustice of the world. These are real. And look at the personal situation in our life. The bond of wickedness. You look around you. Addiction to alcohol, drugs, addiction to gambling, addiction to pornography. Look at the Greek and materialism. Those of you who have come out, you have come out of your poverty. You are never satisfied. You are chasing for more. You are chasing for more. Pastor Lydia and me, we are going back to Singapore. God is good. We are going to renovate our house. But we are not going to chase for more. We are not going to chase for more. We know that God will take care of us. Some of us, we chase for more. We chase for more. You look at the unforgiveness and bitterness. Unforgiveness and bitterness are emotional prisons. Some of us, we never come out of unforgiveness and bitterness. We never come out. You know, my mom, when she was 16, 17 years old, she's a very lively lady. She has friends and she will do everything. And she's going to marry this, my father. And he's the one that is like the Filipino here. Pull her down. She worked, she took care of 8 children. Do you know why all of us love her? Oh, my brothers and sisters, I tell you, every one of us love her. Every one of us will go the extra mile for her because we saw with our own eyes the tremendous sacrifice that she put in for 8 of us. And my dad, is enjoying the fruit of her labor. Now my dad is also enjoying the salary, the allowances that we eight people gave to my mom and my dad. But my mom, as she grew older, she started to become bitter. She starts to talk about the past. She said that, I really regretted marrying this man. He made me take care of these eight children and he didn't care about me. And until today, when my dad go out for his morning walk, he will come back without a lunch or packed food for my mom. He'll just buy for himself. I tell my mom finally released the bitterness. And she become emotionally in prison. In prison, she was, one day I was, during the 20 months of COVID in Singapore, my sister just posted on the WhatsApp that my mom is like dying. Pastor Lily, me, we just went to the house, just pray for her. We cast out and she vomited out something and she became normal. And I said to mom, Mom, you got to forgive your dad. You got to forgive that. I said, you got to forgive that. Because you suffer. She kept quiet. But she couldn't forget the past. That is bitter prison. You have to get out of it. Unforgiveness and bitterness. You have to get out of the emotional prisons. And many people in this world, even in this church, there's so much emotional prisons. And there's lust. Some of you, you really have a problem of lust. You give excuses and you don't want to come to church, but your problem is lust. And I will say that the church has to be very forgiving for you. Immorality, pride, self-righteousness. Some of you, we are always fearful. You encounter a lot of disasters in life and you become very, a thunder only, you become very frightened. A bark of a dog, you become very fearful. You allow fear. You allow shame to paralyze your life and you cannot move forward because of fear and shame. These are the bonds of wickedness in our lives, in many people's lives. And the only way is to use our weapon. Pull down the stronghold. 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 This bond distorts our identity. Keep us from freedom in Christ. They have a heavy burden. Heavy burden are the crushing loads placed on people that God never intended you to carry. Imposed by your boss. Imposed by the system of this world. Imposed by life circumstances. Made worse by sin and injustice. Many of you, you carry the load of heavy burden in your life. Financial burden in your life. You know, there was a survey that done that. Filipino are never out of debt. You clear one debt, you enjoy going into the next debt. And it become a heavy burden. Teachers, don't always borrow money from the cooperative. Don't. Why must you always live from debt to debt to debt to debt? It's a bondage. You cannot do much thing because you're always in debt. Clear all your debts. So that when you access, hey, I can go for a meal. I have no debt. Let's go for a meal together. Heavy burden. Heavy burden. Some of us, you live tremendous heavy burden. You need to come out of this heavy burden imposed upon you by life circumstances, made worse by your sin, made worse by the injustice. Then a yoke. A yoke is a wooden bar placed on the neck of the oxen to control direction, to control speed, to control strength. Spiritually, a yoke. The devil put a yoke upon you. Forces you to live under domination of him. You are controlled by direction of your life. You want to come to church? Cannot. Sunday I got to work. You are controlled by the strength
You're controlled by direction. You're controlled by the devil. Some of you, you are under economic yoke. You are in debt slavery. You are in exploitative labor. You are in a generational poverty. We have been here for a long time. You got to get out of the spiritual generation poverty. You got to get out of poverty in the name of Jesus Christ. And this fasting will break the yoke of poverty. And I teach you, the number one thing that will get you out of poverty is pay your tithes. I'm telling you, I don't talk about money. You know why you are always sick? Is it because you cheat God on tithing? No, I ask you this question right now. Is it you cheat God on tithing? Economic yoke is debt slavery. Social yoke, you have to conform to ungodly norms. Oh, my peer pressure, they need to put a tattoo. I also need to put a tattoo. My peer pressure, they need to drink Tanduai 45. I also need to do Tanduai 45. Why must you follow these stupid people? Why ask you, why must you follow them? Oh, because I'm so inferior. I need friends. And they are my friends. So whatever they do, I have to do. Then I'm part of their system. No, you don't have to. You have God. Yoke is anything that enslaves people spiritually or socially. How you accomplish this? You bombard heaven against the spiritual wickedness. Against the evil. I tell you, there's so much evil in this world. So much evil. So evil, so evil. And I've said to say, sometimes the evil is even in the church. So evil. Let us not be Korah. Let us not be Korah. Let us not be Miriam and Aaron. Let us not be them. Let's not bring the evilness of the world into the evilness of the church. You got to pull down the high thoughts, the high places. Then you go into the byways and you release Jesus. Then you bring them to Jesus Christ. That's why Saturday is so good. I encourage you, before you go, you unite together. You say, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, we bombard heaven. And as we enter into the stronghold, we pull down every opposition. We pull down every high imagination. We pull down every disobedience. We pull down every evilness in these houses that we are going to. Father, we pull down and we hold on to your word, because you say that our weapon is not carnal, but heavenly and mighty. Then you go. Then you go. Number four. After you fast, offer your life. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercy of God, they present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, in this body, the life that I live in this body right now, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and he gave himself for me. This fast is not something we give to God. It is a life that we give to God after the fast. Fasting is a sacrifice. Life is the altar. During the fast, we give up food, comfort, routine. After the fast, we ask for something greater. God say, present your body a living sacrifice. I'll be honest with you. I felt cleansed. I think this is of all the fasts in my life, this is the most sanctified fast. Like Pastor Carlos said that he felt that something was different in this fast. And he was very sincere. I understand what he's saying. During fast, things that are not right are given up. Given up. Don't go back to them anymore. I felt cleansed. I can hear God's voice much clearer. Like that God was telling me about this lady. I can hear very clearly. And God was telling me that, can you remember when you enter the morning fast prayer, you can felt the hardness in the church. But after the 21 days, you can sense the softness towards God. God was talking. I mean, your mind becomes sensitive. You become open to spiritual things. I want to stay clean. I want to stay holy before God. I want to, with God's help, present my body a living sacrifice. Put it correctly. I want to learn to live a surrendered life to God. After this fast, maintain a close and holy relationship with God. Becomes available for God to use. Don't be afraid when you go to the Saturday. Don't be afraid. Say, God, I'm available. I'm available. By faith, I hold on to your word. And as I go out, I go not by my own strength. I go by the power of God. I'm available. You become available for God to use. And God will use your gift. God will use your faith. God will use your voice. God will use your resources. God will use your obedience to be used to reach out and touch souls. In conclusion, our fasting is sincere but imperfect. Yet God sent Jesus to enter in this world and started his fasting as his first work. He became our ultimate example. Jesus fasted. He fasted, yet he was crucified and gave up his life. So he became the bread of life. When he came out of the tomb and conquered death, we live knowing that we have heard that Christ has already conquered for us. The victory is already won. The spiritual weapon is already given to us. I want to tell you, some of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, use the name of Jesus Christ to exercise faith in whatever situation and circumstances you are in. And some of you, I want you to use the power of the Holy Spirit to do whatever he asks you to do. Fasting shapes us into his likeness, and our life reflects him. The Bible says, whoever loses his life for my sake shall find it. The title of this message is, after the fast, leave the answer. Let's start living. The work continue. Let's start living. Let's see the glory of God. I just want to tell you that I hold on to God's word. And I believe, I'm fully persuaded, what God has promised, he's able to bring it to pass. Bring it to pass. Shall we all stand up, musician? We have fasted. And those of you who you have dedicated, you want to dedicate and surrender your life to God. Say, God, I want to surrender my life to you. I want to dedicate my life to you. And I want you to allow God to put his anointing upon you. When you dedicate your life to God, God is going to put an anointing upon you, and the name of Jesus become very powerful in your mouth. Whatever you do, you use the name of Jesus. Your hand becomes the invisible hand of God. Whatever you touch shall be healed. Whatever you touch shall be blessed. Whatever your hand touch shall become holy. You surrender your life and you present this body, this mouth, this voice, these hands, this leg as a living sacrifice. And if that is what you want, I invite you to come to the altar as we sing. As we sing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come.